This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Hello. Hope everyone's doing well. I'm so excited to chat on this topic. I think that bringing my passion for business and marketing with health and fitness is like my favorite. So we're going to talk about where the fitness world is going, the changes that are happening, and just kind of things are changing, and they're changing really fast. And I find it so fascinating. And I think, you know, those people that own businesses involved in the fitness world, whether it's these little boutique studios or their franchises or, you know, larger gyms or smaller gyms, personal training, there's just so much. And it can be a little bit of like do or die right now. It's really kind of a fascinating time in the world of fitness business, right? Like, and there's a lot of money to be made in fitness. I do think that the one thing a lot of our generations have in common is that we're willing to spend money on fitness, whether you're Gen Z or you're a millennial like me, or, you know, older generations. I mean, even when I look at like my mom and my father-in-law and like the much older generations, they are also making fitness a priority, and we're all willing to spend money on that. So I do think that there's a lot here. There's a lot of possibility in success and making money, but is it oversaturated? You know, like there's just so much going on. I think we've got the larger gyms, like the Lifetime and the Equinox or whatever. I remember back in the day in Walnut Creek, I used to go to Club Sport, which was a larger, nicer gym. I think they renamed it. I don't even know what the new name is, but it was very typical. You would go, you had all of your gym equipment, you had basketball courts, they had, was it racquetball? They had different classes you could go to, from cycling to yoga to, I mean, back then my favorite was Tai Bo. They had boot camp. You know, they had the reformer machines. You had to pay extra for that, of course. They had personal training. They had swimming pools, you know, the sauna, steam room, whatever. Pretty typical larger gym scenario. And I think that that always sounds good on paper, but you know, you go to those workout classes and they're not always the best. It depends what kind of teacher you get, and it can be very like surface, and you get, you know, people in those classes with different fitness levels. You get a lot of beginners in those classes, and it can be really hard to kind of push yourself in that regard. And then also, to me, it's like a timing thing. So let's say I sign up to like a big gym and I want to go to yoga. It's like, well, they only have yoga, you know, so many times a day, because they also do other exercise classes in those same rooms. And then what if that time doesn't work for you, or it's not super convenient? Then it's kind of becomes an annoyance, where these like boutique studios that have been popping up all over for a long time, I would say, you know, a couple decades at least, then you find what you like. You know, the whole idea is that it's like the best teachers, because they're only focused on that type of workout. And then you could take classes all day long. So for example, I go to the local Legree studio. I've been doing Legree for like 8 years. It's my primary favorite workout right now, and has been for a while. I've talked about it on this podcast numerous times. I have a machine at my house. We actually had the creator of Legree on the podcast. So if you go back, you can listen to that. Very fascinating. I love stories like that. And just, I mean, just the creativity, the fact that, you know, all of his stuff is patented and, you know, whatever. But the nice thing is, like, I do like a class pack at these studios and I can go when it works for my schedule. So they've got early morning classes, they've got classes all morning long, lunchtime, afternoon, evening, and it can really fit your schedule. So there's a huge plus to that. A lot of people will do like the unlimited monthly memberships and you can go as much as you want. So you could go every day, you could go four times a week, you could do, you know, whatever. And that's a huge draw. But then of course the downfall from that is like, you're paying for just that one workout. So, you know, when you're at like a Lifetime, you can go and you can like do cardio, you can do weightlifting, you can do classes, you can, you know, swim in the pool. Like there's so much variety. But when you're a member at, let's say, a Legree studio, like I love, then that's all you're doing. And yeah, you might be able to take like an advanced class or like, you know, I know like some of these boot camp places, like one day will be arms and the next day will be glutes and the next day will be core. And like you can mix it up in that way, but you're paying for just the one type of fitness where you're not getting variety. And I do think that people are starting to see that variety is super important where, yeah, you can be in super great shape if you do CrossFit or you go to like a boot camp, but then you're not getting like the long lean muscles that you would get from Pilates or bar class. You're not getting the flexibility that you would get from like a yoga or like a hot Pilates class. You know, you're not getting necessarily the cardio that you would get from long walks, hiking, running, whatever, right? So I do think that we're all kind of coming to the conclusion that having variety in our workouts is really important to having a complete fitness routine and health. Like I think now we're all starting to talk about longevity. Okay, well to have longevity, it's not just having big bulky muscles, it's having actual strength, which have you guys seen those videos where it's like an older dude that's like in really good shape versus a younger dude that's like super buff. And then they go to do basic things, like basic competition. And it's like the older in shape guy can always do more pull-ups, more push-ups, more sit-ups, more of everything because he's in actual good shape versus just like bulking up all of his muscles. So we are now all looking at the big picture more instead of saying CrossFit is everything or go into bar class or whatever. We're starting to see that we do need more and we do need to think more about things like longevity and things that we don't think about that much. Like flexibility is super important and just mobility in general. I was just talking to someone, you know, I've had this shoulder thing I've been working through and I'm like, knock on wood, I'm almost 100% better. The only thing that's hard for me is like a handstand because my whole body weight goes straight up and down onto my shoulder and that will hurt me. And I feel like when I tell people this, they're like, who cares if you can do a handstand or not? Like, you know, like almost like a joke, like, were you like, you're hitting handstands all the time? Like, why does that even matter? And I'm like, I never in my whole entire life want to be in a position where I can't do something. I would like to do handstands till the day I die. And I know it's like, I don't need handstands. I'm not a gymnast anymore and I'm pushing 40, but the idea of like physically being limited is so bizarre to me and I never want to feel that way. I do think that there are lots of people that are physically limited all the time because maybe they're overweight or they just don't push themselves. I think human nature is to sit in comfort and I learned that a long time ago to never sit in comfort and I want to push my body to the limits. And for a lot of people that sit in the comfort, they think it's silly. Like, why do you need to do a handstand? And I'm like, I get it, but I should never be in pain doing anything. And that includes a handstand. So I think the more that we're like putting the pieces together, we're all able to look at fitness in a different way. And that's why we're seeing such differences. And we also have all these like franchise type studios, like the Orange Theories and this and that. And I just think a lot of that is going to start going away. I think they're just way too cookie cutter. And I think there's a few things. One, I think they're too basic, because to make a franchise, the key first and foremost will always be easy to copy. So I think, I don't know, like part of the reason I would never be able to make Lemon into a franchise would be, that would be part of it, is like you'd have to simplify the business so much that I think it would take away the sparkle of what the business is. And that's what you do when you franchise fitness. You have to make it so basic, so simple that like anyone could own it. Anyone could teach it. Anyone could run the studio. Anyone could explain it. It has to be like so simple, simple, simple. And there's no quality control. Like there's nowhere where someone's saying like, this teacher's not doing the right corrections or whatever. So I've never been into the franchise studios. I think anything that's like copy and paste is just not a good idea. I did do Bar Method for years, and I guess that's a franchise, but like Bar Method was headquartered in the Bay Area, and I feel like all of the ownership and the trainers, it was like the best of the best. I don't know if I would have had that same experience if I did like a Bar Method in like a different state or something, you know? So I do think that there is a little bit of being cautious with those like copy and paste studios. I just think it gets too simple, and then simple isn't necessarily the best. And then we've got a lot of like luxury options that are also just trying to market themselves as being exclusive, like Soho House and all that. And that's been around for, again, decades. Like having these like exclusive clubs is not like a new thing, but they almost always have a fitness component, whether it's just a really fancy gym or has some classes or has some personal training. And then they have like all the other amenities that's like gets people wanting to go, like having a pool, having, a restaurant, a bar, having a networking space. You know, it's all about like, since it's exclusive and expensive, then it's like, who am I going to meet and who am I going to connect with and all these things. I was actually, surprised to find out that some of these like more exclusive clubs are actually not that expensive. I think fitness has gotten so expensive that they've caught up with these luxury quote unquote type places. So when you look at like an unlimited month at like a Pilates studio, it's like $250 or $275 or like $300. And then you look at these luxury, you know, exclusive clubs, it's like the same price point. It's kind of crazy how it's like almost leveled out. So it's like you almost can't even call any of this luxury anymore because it's like literally the same price, if not cheaper, which is crazy. But it, you know, we can't like ignore or count it out because I feel like that's still a part of it all. I also think that a big movement was a lot of home gyms, and it's still a thing. Obviously, because of COVID, everyone was starting to feel forced to move their workouts to their home, especially if you lived in places like New York, LA, San Francisco, like the big hotspot areas where the rules and regulations were so tight and for so long. Like we came from the Bay Area, so they literally shut down gyms and studios for a long period of time. And people were just like buying the Peloton bikes and, you know, doing this home workout, making this workout space. And it was just like survival. Like it was really, honestly, when I think back, it's insane. When we moved to Nashville area at the end of 2020, everything was open here. Like the gym was open. No one was wearing a mask at the gym. Like it was crazy. I just remember going to Lifetime. At the time we had a membership, we got a membership at Lifetime when we first moved, just to like, you know, the kids were little, we could like bring them to like the childcare or whatever. And yeah, it was just literally opposite of what was happening in the Bay Area. But regardless, I think of location, everyone on some level was doing some sort of home workout. That's when all like the apps became a thing. And obviously Peloton took off because they had done a really good job of marketing their workout bikes and their treadmills, and had like the connection of community through the screen and whatever. I never got into that whole thing. I don't like stationary bikes, so that was part of it. But when we built our home, one of the priorities was building a gym. So we do have a home gym. Does it have everything? Of course not, but it has a lot. Like it's very sufficient. Like you can do a very full workout, and it has my Legree machine, it has a treadmill, it has like a boxing area, it has all the free weights, it has, you know, a couple of other machines, and you know, the pull-up bar, like it has like all the things. And it really is a game changer. I talked about this early on in the podcast when I started doing my daily workouts. And now, by the way, working out every day is like a duh. Like if I don't work out every day, I feel gross. And it doesn't have to be a crazy workout, but it's every single day, every single day. And part of what makes that possible is having a home gym, because at the end of the day, time is money. And going to any sort of workout, you know, you have to get ready, you have to bring your stuff, you have to drive there, you have to go do your workout. And then some workouts really require you to shower immediately, like if you're doing like a hot yoga or something. So then you're like showering, and then you're getting ready, and then, you know, you're driving back home. It's like, honestly, like when you add it all up, you're like, wow, this was crazy, right? So I do think that the home gym, because of COVID, and then also just like the convenience of it, has definitely took a stamp in its place in the fitness world, and we can't ignore it or act like it's not a thing. I do think it's different. You do not get the community or the friendships. You do not get the teachers or the coaches or the personal trainers that are pushing you and helping you and correcting your form, or, you know, just keeping you accountable. I think a lot of us need that like accountability piece of it. It's just nice to get out and see people. Like, don't get me wrong, like all of that stuff is great, but the saving of the time and the convenience, the home gym, I definitely think has a time and place for it. Yes, there are people that don't have the space to have a home gym. I'm thinking like tiny apartments in New York type of thing. But I do think that because we're more focused on health now than ever before, that people are making priorities in infusing fitness into their home. So even if you have a small, tiny apartment, it's having an area where you can like roll out a yoga mat and work out. Or they even make the really small, tiny, like travel type Legree machines where you can roll it out from under your bed and then roll it back under your bed. Like, I just think if I was in that situation with a small space, I would still have a system where I could do some sort of a home workout and make it fit. So I do think that that's definitely a piece of it, but I think a lot of the young people want to get out. They want to be social. And I think all of us need to get out. We're all just so at home and like digitally connected and like whatever for our mental health. Like, we all need to get out. So I think it's like pros and cons to the home gym. But what I have been noticing is that there are more and more and more personal trainers and personal training like companies that will send a personal trainer to your home and you do the workout at home, which I don't remember this really being a thing before COVID. So I don't know if that was part of it or if it's just bigger in the Nashville area. Like, I don't really remember any of this in the Bay Area, which maybe it is now. I mean, we've been gone for a while, like 4.5 years. But here, I know of multiple different companies that will do the personal training. And they come, they bring all the equipment. If you have a home gym or a garage gym or whatever, you may or may not utilize that stuff. It's like optional. But a lot of it is like outdoor, like you're up and down your driveway or using your sports court or whatever it may be. And if it's raining, I've seen videos of people just like doing the workouts in their garage. And again, that goes back to convenience. So you're able to get that accountability, the training, but you're at home. So in my mind, I'm like anyone that like works from home or is just super busy, like even just like moms that like have their babies at home, it's like someone comes to your house, you can have the baby, you know, sitting there in their car seat watching, or they could even be napping inside and you can have the baby monitor. Like I just think back to when my kids were little, like so convenient, so great. I just think the trick with that is cost, because I've seen some pricing and it gets really pricey. Like we're talking like a lot of money for them to come a couple times a week, every week. You know, I mean, we're talking like a couple $1,000 for 3 times a week, or you know, so it's like there is a piece of that where it's like, okay, is that even worth it? I mean, part of me is like, why not take that money and just build like a really nice home gym? But, you know, again, pros and cons. It's great to have a personal trainer, someone that really knows what they're doing, you know, et cetera. So, sorry guys, I had to pause for a second because Lemon has just been blowing me up. I'm like, what is going on? I'm trying to do a quick podcast episode. But this is life of owning a business. By the way, I love the fact that my husband is so outdoorsy and like manly. They woke up early this morning and he took the boys out on our kayak and are like fishing and just chilling on the river that's attached to this lake. And just doing, you know, just having fun. And I'm like, thank God, because I was able to like work out this morning and go grocery shopping and do some meal prepping and some cleaning. And now I'm doing this podcast episode with peace and quiet, except for Lemon keeps blowing me up, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyways, I'm back. So, yeah, so I think that that's interesting with the home gyms and the personal trainers that come to your house now. There is this like talk that I've heard a few times now of just like consolidation in fitness, that like that's where it's going, where a lot of things are going to get absorbed into each other. Or, you know, we've seen this kind of happen where like a bigger gym will buy a smaller studio and consolidate and things like that. A lot of people are saying that it's like kind of a correction from COVID. Like COVID happened, and then certain things came out of that, like Peloton, for example. And then, you know, we got back to normal life, and there was like kind of a big boom of more stuff. It's just like, I feel like there's too many options now, and there's no way that all these studios are making money. I could be wrong, but just from like a business standpoint and from someone observing the fitness world, I feel like I do think it's gotten too saturated and something's gonna happen. And also, you have to remember, like, a lot of things are fads. You know, I remember back in the day, I would do Taibo. Nobody does Taibo anymore, myself included, which is like so funny because it was like my go-to for so many years. And then I got into like bar method and doing bar classes. I don't really know anyone that does bar class anymore. And I know a lot of the studios have closed, some are still open, so I wonder about that. You know, I've been doing Legree for 8 years, and everyone talks about Pilates and like the reformers and being a Pilates girly, and now it's all about like hot mat Pilates. And I just think that there's always these fads and these things that will come and go. So I do think that there is a little bit of that correction all the time. And then I do think COVID maybe just kind of shifted things in ways that we never would have expected. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the fitness world in the next, you know, year or so, just with some of, you know, these fads coming and going. I mean, Peloton has started a running club, which is hilarious because I'm like, you started as like a home option during COVID, like literally in isolation with a screen. But now they're seeing that it's not working, obviously. Now people want to get out. Now people want community. Now people want connection. And, you know, this like digital connection is just not good for our mental health. So yeah, they have these like running clubs now. Their New York location has been completely like remodeled. And they have like areas where you can like hang out and have, you know, conversations and networking. And so it's really interesting to see brands that really built themselves on in-home isolation now shifting to the complete opposite, where it's like, come join our running club. It's going to be a big group of people outside all together, you know? So it's like that kind of stuff's going to be really interesting. I think the most interesting thing I've seen that I really think is going to be the new fitness way is not just focusing on fitness, but focusing on full lifestyle and having more to offer. And yes, like a Soho House or like a Lifetime, they try to do that where they're like, you can come, you can work here, you can network here, like you can do other things and just work out. And I love the spa Lifetime. I think they have some of the best, you know, massage therapists and facialists and all the things. But anyone can use the spa, so that's not a good example. But I think that we're gonna see much more than what some of these luxury quote unquote options are or exclusive options. And one that I've been seeing that I love is called Sweet Honey Farm. And I think it's right outside of New York. It's this guy that started this fitness thing and it's on like 20 acres. It's on a farm. He literally has like a barn that he's like built out and he has like workout classes in there and there's like recovery spaces, like, you know, cold plunge, they have sauna, they have, I mean, I saw on their Instagram that they have a full basketball court, they have pickleball, they have horses, you can also do horseback riding, they have a full garden, organic, of course, which is like, I love, like everything he does, I'm like, this is my jam. So it's all like organic garden and they have all of the farm animals. So they're getting like fresh eggs, for example, and all of that. And if you're a member, you get to enjoy the food that they grow or the eggs or whatever. They do like farm to table events, which obviously is like fresh organic food. They do different like other events. Like I saw that they do like a Friday, I think, community event where you can just come together and hang out, eat, socialize, network, whatever. You can, you know, come with your whole family. They have like after school, like arts and crafts events. Like they really do it all. And it's kind of wild because in some ways it's so simple. It's a farm with a barn with like workout equipment, you know, like when you really kind of break it down, you're like, it's not that complex, but it's this building of a community and giving so much to the person that becomes a member that it makes it worth their time. So this, I don't know, like, I just think it's really smart. And I think two things. One, I think we're starting to look at fitness as more than just a workout class where they are connecting the dots. They have the recovery. They do have the sauna. They do have the community. They do have like the fresh organic foods. They do have the you know, connections, the events, the this and that. And then, you know, you also, it's smart because once you get hooked and you're making friends and you have like friendships there, it makes it a lot harder to leave because you're like, oh, Fridays I go and we all hang out and Mondays we work out together. And, you know, Wednesdays we hit the sauna. Like, you know, it's just like you're building so much that I do think it'll make harder for people to like bounce around. Like I think another thing with these studios, which is what I do, is I just get class packs. And I go when I want, I go when I can. It's not all that time. I might go like once a week. I might go once a month. Like it just depends on how busy I am and what I'm doing that month because I do have my own gym and I do my own thing. Like they're not necessarily like they don't have me as like be part of our community. They have me because I'm like, I want to come do this exercise and I want your teachers to like push me. So with something like this Sweet Honey Farm, they're really building an actual community. And it's also like I clicked on it because I wanted to get more information. And it literally has you like fill out this like questionnaire if you want to be a member. So again, it goes back to like that exclusivity and luxury where it's like you have to fit for us to pick you. And I think it's actually really smart because you're putting like-minded people together. You're putting people together that actually understand the importance of like eating organic and eating fresh whole foods that aren't GMO, that don't have seed oil, that are full of nutrients. You're putting people there that actually care about like fitness and community, and they really do want to do the sauna or the infrareds or all the things. Like they understand the benefits. You don't have to educate people, is my point. People that are asking to be a part of this, they see the value. So you're bringing all these like-minded people together, and it's genius, I think. This is, I think, the future of fitness is what this guy is doing. I also did notice that a day pass, this is insane, a day pass is $250. So I was like, okay, how much is a monthly membership? Like, this is crazy. I don't know. So I think it's probably really expensive. But I mean, I guess if like, you can take food from the garden and like eggs and like you start to add up some of the perks, maybe the dollar amount works out, like I'm not really sure like the rules around that. Like, are you paying for that food or do you just grab and go? It seems like very like relaxed, like you're part of this community, you can enjoy the food, but who knows? I did see that like people are like having weddings and stuff there, so that obviously you pay for that separate. I did see that they have like mastermind classes, which I think that would also be an additional fee, and you would actually have to sign up for that. And I thought that was interesting. They do that in person or virtually. So like again, they're connecting all the dots for someone, honestly, like me, right? Someone that already understands the benefits of wellness and fitness, someone that's already connected the dots with why we need to eat healthy and whatever, someone that's family oriented and friend, oriented and cares about community, and then someone that is looking for more. I own a business and I like talking about business, and that's why I have this podcast. And you know what I mean? Like bringing people like me together, which is like genius. It's genius. I was just talking to one of my friends that's also very like-minded in just like being healthy and lifestyle and all the things. And she was like, I heard someone at the store like telling their kid, like, we're not going to get this because of all the microplastics in it. And I'm like, I know. Like, when you hear people like that, you want to instantly connect. You want to instantly be friends because it's not necessarily that common and it can be hard. And it is a lot of like biting your tongue and not saying certain things to certain people because you don't want to offend them or they don't get it or you don't want to get into like this huge discussion and almost make it like a debate. So I do think that the fitness world is going to expand into more of if this is your lifestyle, then you want to be with people that have your mindset. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what really happens in the fitness industry now that we're like way post-COVID and we've all learned so much since COVID about health. I actually think that the biggest pro that came out of COVID was kind of a wake-up call to like what's really healthy. Like if you remember during COVID,
it was like the fitness studios were closed, the gyms were closed, but then fast food was open. And it was just this very like weird alternate reality where you're like, we're supposed to be super concerned about our health right now, but you're closing the things that are keeping us healthy and you're keeping things open that are killing us. Like, it's just bizarre, bizarre world. So I think a lot of people started questioning the systems and started researching. And I just think that podcasting became bigger and social media became bigger and people lost faith in, you know, normal media, where it was a lot of like programming and fake stuff and, you know, scripts that they were reading off of. And I think now we're like, I want to hear from the expert on vitamin D, or, you know, I want to know more from people that really understand health and longevity versus kind of the bullshit we've been fed. Like, obviously, like, we all know the pyramid, the food pyramid is complete garbage, you know, things like that. So I think it's really fascinating where fitness is going to go. I don't know. But I do think that this Sweet Honey Farms is a really smart concept. Really smart. So we'll see. Let me add this one thing. This Sweet Honey Farm is a man. Okay. A man has created it. It's very, you know, you can tell like the, you know, the barn is kind of like CrossFit set up and, you know, basketball court, like whatever. It's very like a boy did it. Okay. Which is fine. Don't get me wrong. And like, I'm a boy mama and I actually love basketball. So like, that was not a good example. But I don't know any women that play basketball other than me. So like, it's very male driven in that way, even though they have like yoga classes and like other stuff. But I think that if a woman was to take his concept and do it better, do it cleaner, do it with more options, do it more aesthetically pleasing, that would, I think, will be the end game. I think that's what we're going to see. And it's going to be interesting because then major cities are going to have a huge, you know, disadvantage because you don't have the space. You don't have the space to have a 20-acre farm like he has, you know. But somewhere like where I am, outside of Nashville and certain areas, you could totally do this. I mean, even from where we moved from in Alamo, like there's a, you know, good amount of like land. A lot of people live on at least an acre. So it'll be interesting if this kind of takes off, how major cities like won't be able to copy it. You know, like they will have to come up with a different version, which I guess maybe is like these running clubs and like whatever these, you know, New York studios are trying to do to kind of create that community. It'll be like a different version of the same thing, you know? So yeah, it's fascinating. I love this kind of stuff and we will see where it goes. But I think ultimately, just to end on this note, I think the best thing you can do is just learn your body, work out, move your body, and do it with someone when you can. Like, I'm trying to get my husband to work out with me, or you know, I love to go to a class with a friend. Like, even though we're not like chit-chatting, we're obviously working out, but like just having that connection, I think, can really change your mindset on fitness. Totally.